The Tom Woods Show, episode 542.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
As of this Black Friday, never lose a debate again. Treat yourself or a friend to a subscription at libertyclassroom.com where you can learn the history and economics they didn't teach you. Check out our Black Friday special. Hey, everybody, if you'd like to learn a foreign language in a way that's cost-effective and just plain effective, then check out Rocket Languages through tomwoods.com/rocket. They're having a 60% off blowout on Black Friday. Put it on your calendar, tomwoods.com/rocket. Happy Thanksgiving if you are listening to these episodes in order and on the day of release. Hope you're enjoying your day and are traveling safely if you're on the road like me. And I'm very glad to be joined today by Jordan Page, the musician of the Ron Paul Revolution. We talked to him all the way back on episode 142. He has opened for Ron Paul on countless occasions, loved by everybody, which is, by the way, not an easy feat here in this movement of ours. A wonderful person, a person I'm very glad to call a friend, and he is releasing a new song today, Thanksgiving. So I thought, well, who better to talk to than Jordan on the day of the release of his new song. I will have him tell you all about the song and all about what he's up to. Just a quick reminder, though, that tomorrow being Black Friday, remember it's our big blowout every year for libertyclassroom.com where you can learn the history and economics they didn't teach you. Treat yourself to a discounted subscription. Forget your friends. Yeah, get them a gift and everything. But think about yourself on Black Friday and head over to libertyclassroom.com. Don't forget, write yourself a note because it's going to be great. We got a whole new redesigned homepage ready to go for Black Friday and forever because it's a really nice, much, much better homepage. It's awesome. Check it out. But let's welcome Jordan to the show. Jordan, thanks for coming back and talking with me again.
Thanks for having me back on, Tom.
It's funny to say welcome back to the show, you know, like you were on 3 weeks ago or something. I think it's been literally 400 episodes since you were on the show first. So indeed, welcome back. But I'm sorry you've been a stranger for so long. In the interim, I think, I wonder, was that around the time that you came to my house to do that concert, or was that in between? I don't know. But you came and did a concert in my own house.
I did, and it was awesome.
It was unbelievable. My kids were just blown away. Like they were watching you set up. They were interested in everything you were doing. It was such a great night.
They were, yeah. They were very inquisitive and interested in all my gadgets and gizmos, and then lights and all that. And you have a really, really wonderful family.
Well, because you know we don't host a lot of concerts at the house,
right,
so
right.
This was a bit of a novelty for them. Well, here we are talking on Thanksgiving Day, and of course I'll give away. Of course, look, Jordan has. Do you want to say how many? How many kids?
Yeah, we just had our sixth child 3 weeks ago on November 2nd, a little boy, our fourth boy. So we have four boys and two girls, and he's a sweet little nugget, and he's doing great.
Now, the fifth child you had, the weight was just unbelievable, right? This was a huge baby.
Oh, he was 11 pounds, 4 ounces. He was a massive baby. Yeah, he was huge.
That's totally insane. Like, that's actually twice the weight of a couple of our kids sometimes are born early.
Yeah.
So, that's like two of our kids in one.
he was like a 3 or 4 month old baby that came out.
Well, anyway, the reason I say this is that, of course, you're with your family and I'm, well, on Thanksgiving, it's a long story. I got my high school reunion is the next day,
right.
And the only flights I could get were in the morning because I don't want to fly the day of the reunion, so I had to fly the morning of Thanksgiving. So I'm actually with the Free Staters for Thanksgiving,
awesome.
And who knows what crazy nonsense I'm up to as people are listening to this episode. But we're broadcasting it on Thanksgiving. That's the important thing. And on this day, you are releasing a new song. Now, it's a song that I think you've been performing for a while, but
yes.
I don't think you had a studio version. Is that the idea?
That is absolutely correct. I wrote the song in 2012, right before the RNC in Tampa, and I debuted the song at Paul Fest, which was the Ron Paul Festival down there that weekend prior to the RNC, and it went over like gangbusters, and it's been a staple in my live shows ever since. It's been the number one requested song, you know, in the last 3 years, and it, the number one song that everybody wants a copy of when it gets recorded. So, I've been wanting to record the song for the last 3 years, just didn't have the means to do so. Oath Keepers is a national veterans organization that educates active military and law enforcement about their oath to the Constitution and what that actually means. And I'm very involved with them. And Stuart Rhodes, the president, is a good friend. And he loves the song. And he's been talking to me for 2 years about using it as the Oath Keepers theme song once it gets recorded. And, oh, man, we got to record this. We got to do a video and blah, blah, blah. And so long story short, over the summer, we did a GoFundMe campaign. And and Oath Keepers really helped to promote it to their base. And some sponsors came on board as well. And we raised you know, plenty of money to get the song recorded. So I flew to Maryland, where I'm originally from, and I went back to the studio where I recorded my Liberty album and my Revolution album, and got the band back together, Tom, and really just knocked it out of the park and recorded the new song. The idea is that
Wait, by the way, have you said the name of the song?
The song is called Arm Yourselves. And it's sort of a call to action. It's much more than just a finger pointing song, pointing the finger at the problem. It's speaking directly to the listener to tell them that it's time to get involved. And you know, it's a lot of folks think that it's a primarily just a Second Amendment sort of anthem, that it's like just a pro-gun song, and it is, but that's not the entire scope of it. For me, it's a very spiritual song. As many, you know, most people who know me or know my music know that I'm a very devout Christian, and physical warfare is not the only kind of battles that we fight in this world. And, you know, the song speaks about arming oneself with the Holy Spirit and arming ourselves with, you know, the means of force to defend ourselves from, you know, various predators, whether they be, you know, our fellow citizens or a tyrannical government regime, and also arming ourselves with truth, you know, in its various forms. And that might be through, you know, doing our homework or you know, picking up a video camera and filming, you know, police brutality, or whatever form facts and truth come in this day and age, but that we need to arm ourselves with information, and I think that that's important. But the song tells a story, a very dark story about the kind of future that, you know, as you know, both of us are fathers of many children, and we're trying to educate as many people as possible in order to avoid this kind of future, this dark future and totalitarian road that we seem to be heading down. So there's a very positive message delivered in kind of a heavy-handed way. So it's definitely one of my heavier songs, but it rocks too. So, you know, and the people that have heard it, the handful of people that have heard it just love it. So I'm hoping your listeners will as well.
Well, we're going to play it for them in just a minute. I want to ask you, are you going to be making, or is somebody going to be making, some type of accompanying music video for this song?
Yes. So the idea is we're bringing on sponsors, organizations or businesses that are in this, you know, realm or field who share the ideals and values that are, you know, put forward in the song. And so we've got some really amazing sponsors so far. First of all, is Oath Keepers, and Oath Keepers is adopting the song as their national theme song, and they're going to be doing, once the video is made, they're going to be putting it on a DVD campaign, a direct outreach campaign to active military troops on U.S. bases. So it'll be the flagship song of that campaign. So they're like the first partner in this situation. Then we have Come and Take It Armor. They're a body armor company. They were the first financial sponsor to commit funds to the project. We also have Tactical Supply, which is a high end rifle manufacturer out of Washington State, and Roberts and Roberts Precious Metals Exchange just came on as a financial sponsor this week. There's several more in the works that I've been courting, and I'm very excited for them to come on board too. So we're raising funds to do the video early next year. I was contacted in August, Tom, by a Hollywood producer who is a lifetime Oath Keepers member, and he saw the GoFundMe campaign and loved the song and wants to offer his production company to shoot it. So, you know, I've seen this guy's videos, and each of their videos has like tens of millions of views. And I'm like, he's the real deal. And I did a lot of research on him, and he's the real deal. So we're definitely looking at working with him, and the folks that are making the Liberty documentary are going to be helping as well. And we're gonna shoot like a 10-minute short film. So like there's Arm Yourselves, which is the primary single, and then it has a companion piece called Act Three. And the lyrics of Arm Yourselves end with the words "Begin Act Three." And Act Three is an instrumental battle scene, and it tells the musical story of the hammer of the police state coming down on the free people. There's three movements, and that's the first one. The second movement is the people regrouping and finding peaceful means to sustain themselves without the state, and just kind of getting our stuff together and regrouping. And the third wave is where we hit back, and it's beautiful, it's intense. There's face melting guitar solos. It's awesome. But it's like the B side, like back in the days of vinyl, they had an A side and a B side. And so I'm releasing both songs together, as two separate tracks. But so the people can get the full experience. 'Cause when I do this live, I will do both songs. So it's like, I'm doing Arm Yourselves, and then there's just this crazy guitar solo at the end. And it's theatrically live, it's in a real experience, but doing it on a recording, it turned out so much better than I could have hoped. So I'm very excited about both of these tracks.
Well, why don't we listen to one of them? We'll listen to Arm Yourselves.
Sure.
We'll listen to that, and then we'll continue our conversation. So we're queuing it up, and here we go.
Something greater.
Well, there you have it. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. There is Jordan Page's song that was released just today, and you are among the first people to hear it. We will be linking on the show notes page, tomwoods.com/542, to the song itself so you can buy the song. Of course, you have it here, but who wants to fish through episode 542 to find Jordan's song? Plus, you should support Jordan. He's a good guy. He's worked really hard over the years. Send him a couple of bucks by checking this out through that link. I am glad, by the way, that there's this reference, as you mentioned before, to arming yourselves with the truth. I think sometimes there can be in our circles, at least among some people, a little bit too much enthusiasm for, you know, well, now's the time. We got to go after the government, whatever. That's an easy way to, if you want to get yourself killed,
sure,
then go out and do that. 99.9% of the American public thinks the problem is we have some dishonest people and we just need to get some better people and maybe things will get better. And that seems to be the way they act, as if that's what they believe. And if that's what they believe, then, well, the range of solutions available to you diminishes. And to me,
sure,
the key thing is, yes, I want to have this defensive posture in that I am prepared to defend myself come what may, but my main strategy is to try to the extent possible, ignore the regime. I mean, in other words, I don't listen to their advice about what I should eat. I don't listen to their advice on morality. I don't listen to any of it. I just zone it out. And I try to create a kind of parallel culture for my children and people I care about. And we just go about our lives the way most Americans went about their lives before we had this cult of personality surrounding the president and so on and so forth. And it can be, as we mentioned before we went on, a delicate balancing act. You've got little kids. You don't want to lie to them. But at the same time, you don't want to fill their heads with terrifying images, right? So I mean, you want them to have a nice, innocent childhood. You don't want the bad guys to take that away from them. How do you balance that in the Page household?
Well, I speak to my children. I mean, we have six, and my oldest is about to turn eight. So they're all fairly close in age, and they're all young. But they're all, I find that they are naturally libertarian, Tom. You know, we ask them questions and ask their opinions on things, and I find that their viewpoints, that the way that they approach life is naturally libertarian. A recent example was we always talk at the dining room table when we eat meals together, and they asked me, you know, what they'd heard the word taxes, and they asked me, you know, what are taxes, and I said, well, you know, taxes are when the government steals money from people to do the things that they want to do. And I said, how would you feel if I gave you some chores to do and I promised you 3 scoops of ice cream? And they said, oh, yeah, that would be great. And I said, well, let's say that you did all your chores and I gave you the scoops of ice cream, but then I took one of the scoops back and I ate it. And they were like, oh, no, that would be terrible. I said, well, that's taxes. You know, so I put it to them in ways that they can understand and ways that make sense to them on their level. But, you know, sometimes I don't need to dumb it down for them a lot of the time. They just seem to get it. They understand that there is this group of people that you know, the word government comes up, and that they do nefarious things with money that they steal from people, and that, you know, one part of Daddy's job, you know, as they understand it, is to go and teach people the truth and to spread love and to talk about God and to talk about goodness and in my music and to do concerts and to try to, you know, get people you know, educated. They understand that component of it. But when they ask me a question, I answer it truthfully, but sometimes I do it, you know, with a spoonful of sugar so that they're not terrified. I don't want them, you know, having nightmares about this stuff. I want them to be empowered. I want them to be strengthened by what, you know, by the information and by the truth and by what I'm doing. I want them to be inspired to do it too, and whatever, you know, form their, you know, their life ends up taking, I whatever path they take, I want them to be always spreading truth and spreading understanding. So, you know, I feel the same way you do. I want them to have their childhood, but I also, you know, tell them I don't lie to them about, you know, the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus either. I mean, we have a very open dialogue, like all of us do. I mean, you know, the real tiny ones, they don't get it, but my older boys, they get it, and they're, you know, they're better off for it.
Sometimes people say that people like you and me focus too much on negative things, like we're always talking about the problems and how dreary and dreadful things are. I hope people who are longtime listeners of this show don't feel that way, because I hope the show exudes a kind of an upbeat tone. But it's true that sometimes you can be dragged down by all the things that are wrong. And of course, because we feel like we've got a lot of the answers, we're drawn to these sorts of topics because we want to make people aware that there's another way to think about a lot of issues. But having said that, when you look across your catalog of songs, can you think of one in particular where you said, in this, I'm not going to look at, you know, the fact that we're surrounded by liars and war and whatever, but I'm going to draw a picture of something that's beautiful that even these SOBs can't take away from us.
Sure, sure. Well, I think my song "Message of Freedom" does that, and that's actually a song that I wrote to my children about years ago. It was 2010. John and Andrew were real little, and I was writing them a letter because I was on an airplane. I had this epiphany that, you know, speaking truth to tyrannical regimes could result in my ultimate demise or my disappearance. And I felt some real fear, and I was on a plane, you know, 30,000 feet up in the air in a pressurized metal tube. And it wasn't the best place to have that realization. And so I started writing the boys a letter, and it was really just like, you know, as I write you this letter, this is what I'm doing, and this is why I feel this way, but this is what I want for you for the future, you know. And it was a very hopeful song, and the chorus says, "Freedom's the answer, what's the question? Resist the advances of force and aggression, and leave to your children the promise of something more. As God is my witness, I'll be a slave no more." And that's become one of my most popular songs, but it's a very hopeful song. And focuses on what, you know, proactively. It's not a song that talks about just all the problems that are out there. It talks about, you know, what kind of people we want to be in the face of all this stuff. What kind of people do we want to be? Do we want to be fearful, or do we want to be courageous? Do we want to live deliberately, or do we want to, you know, let fear control us? And so I you know, to answer your question, I think that's probably one. Until the Race Is Run is another song on my Liberty album. It's actually how I end the album, and it's not a political song at all. It's really a song about gratitude and just about just the meaning of life, and it's really a beautiful song. Not every single thing that I write has a gloom and doom message, but I find, here's the thing, man. I find that so many people are so far out of the loop of just what's going on. They are uninformed, and their worldview is based on mainstream media, which is owned by six conglomerate corporations with vested interests in their slavery and war. And so, and that's where they're getting their information from. And that's the only place they're getting information from. So the average person in this country, I don't believe really gets it. I think they have some vague conception, but the hardcore messages that you and I sometimes talk about are necessary to, you know, to jostle them and get and elicit an emotional reaction. Because until you get that emotional reaction to the information, you're not going to do the homework that's necessary to fully comprehend the scope and breadth of what's going on.
Yeah, that is exactly what I say when sometimes people say, you know, we need to just talk about how inspiring entrepreneurship can be or whatever. And that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. That's great. If that works, I'm all for that. But I'm not quite sure that alone is enough to commit somebody to, you know, what is really an unpopular undertaking. Let's face it, we're not exactly the most beloved people in the world. And a lot of times it's going to take, as you say, really being jolted by something. And a lot of times you're jolted by the realization that you haven't been told the full truth about what's going on, or you've been given a propaganda line about whether it is taxes or whatever else. That certainly jolted me.
Sure.
And it jolts a lot of people. I want to ask you, as an independent musician, if you find that this age of the internet is making things easier on net or more difficult. Easier, obviously, in the sense that you can do some audio editing probably if you had to on your own. I mean, you prefer to have a professional who does nothing but audio editing do it, but there's software that, you know, even just a regular guy can kind of grope his way through. Like, there are a lot of things that would have cost a fortune in the past that are much cheaper today. You can send music all over the world at the click of a button. But on the other hand, because of that, because the cost of entry is so low, no doubt the competition is much greater. What do you find overall?
I find all of that to be true. I mean, the market is just completely flooded with music, with artists, and that is awesome. And I love that. I love that no matter, you know, where you go, you can just find music. I mean, in the old days, you had to have somebody in your living room on the piano or with a violin playing for you to hear music. In the 21st century, all the music of the whole world is right at your fingertips. But that being said, that means that, you know, all the music of the world is at your fingertips. What's going to make you stand out? And, you know, years ago, when I first wrote my song Pendulum, which was my launching point, it was the first song with any political significance that I had written. I recorded the song and put it out there, and it got a lot of attention. And I had a manager at the time who was basically taking me to record labels and pitching me to get a record deal. And every single one of them said no for the only reason about what I was singing about. They loved my voice and my guitar skills and my songwriting, and they loved the whole, because I was the whole package. Not everybody, you know, can sing and play guitar and write, and I can do all of those things. But they all said no solely on the fact of what I was singing about. And if I wanted to get a record deal, then I needed to stop doing that. And I knew that God had put me on this path, and I wasn't about to, you know, turn my back on that. So I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to make it on my own. And I find that that is what sets me apart. It's that I didn't sell out, and I'm not making meaningless, shallow, hollow, hedonistic music. It's not praise music either. Don't get me wrong there. I mean, I'm a Christian who's an artist, not a Christian artist. But my spirituality and my faith definitely comes through in the songs. But so that's one thing that sets me apart. Is that I do incorporate my spiritual views into the songs, but in a subtle way. The other thing is the socio-political, you know, perspective that I'm bringing, and the story that I have of, you know, my travels and working with Ron Paul and doing all, you know, all these things. That's what sets me apart. Because like the majority of music out there it's not messagey music. It's all about, like, you know, trying to, you know, get someone to love you, or mourning the one that the love that you lost. I mean, it's the age old stuff, or just celebrating, you know, hedonism and, you know, the music industry is completely controlled by the same people that control the military industrial complex. And it's all just about, you know, mass hypnosis. I challenge the listener to think and to consider the alternative viewpoint. So all those things set me apart. And, you know, I kind of liken the people as a whole to a block of cheese, and the painful realization is the cheese grater and all the shavings that come off. That's the liberty movement. You know, it's like we have to go through this painful separation from the collective consciousness to become these little individual shavings.
Well, you know, that actually puts me in mind of the fact that, I mean, one thing that you have done really well in positioning yourself is that, and not even really trying, really, is that you became just the voice of the whole movement musically. And there, you know, for instance, you remember the Washington Post singled you out. I mean, in the Washington Post, it was saying, well, you know, here's some things Ron Paul people like, and here's what they like musically. Jordan Page,
right.
Like right there, you know, so that helps. I mean, you know, you have to think about what your niche is, unless you're going to be, you know, one of, you know, unless you're Lady Gaga or something, you have to have some kind of a niche. This is true in publishing too. Every year there's, you know, 200,000 or 300,000 new books published. Now you can either try to get the whole country to buy your book. That's great if they do. But primarily remember kind of who you are and where you came from. Who's that niche? Who are those people who are going to be interested in what you're doing, and really focus on them? And once you did that, once you built up a following of people who associated you with the Liberty Movement, they associated you with Ron Paul, now you were able to come up with this great entrepreneurial idea that when you go months in between Liberty events and you have to put food on your table, there are other things you can do. You can do, like you did at my house, you can do a house concert, and people bring their friends, a lot of whom know you and some of whom don't, and people make a contribution at the end, and you do well, and everybody's happy, and it's an experience almost nobody's ever had. That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, and it's worked out really well. I mean, the last 3 years I've been doing, you know, on and off doing Liberty events, big events, and protests, and in between booking tours. I'm actually I have a tour booked in New England in December. I'm going to be up in New Hampshire and New York and Massachusetts and Rhode Island and possibly Vermont. So that's put food on the table. Also, you know, licensing music for different projects does the same thing. And just using my skills and my product essentially, which is the songs, and trying to diversify income streams for sure. But you know, you have to get creative with it, or you're going to be, you know, you're going to be in trouble. So I can't sit idly by, but I also can't just sit idly by while, you know, everything falls down the tubes. I mean, I have to be part of the process of enlightening the population to, you know, evolve past this ominous group of people that are controlling everything. And it's important to me, Tom. I mean, I've got lots of children, and they're inheriting the world that we create, or the world that we let others create. And I want to create a free society for them. I don't want to leave them in darkness when I'm gone.
Oh, I agree. And I mean, even if you and I are unsuccessful in doing that, I want them to see that we did it anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't matter what the odds are. We know that this is the right thing to be doing. And I have kids, my kids are a little older than yours, and they're getting to an age where they more or less start to understand what it is that I'm doing. And it's really nice to have these little people, you know, who just yesterday couldn't even form a word, and who now look at their dad and they really respect him.
Right.
You know, they really think he's doing something that matters, and that's a wonderful thing. Your website is jordanpagemusic.com. I'm, of course, going to include that at tomwoods.com/542, and any social media you have we'll also put there. It'll be a Jordan Page extravaganza there, and, of course, a way that you can get Arm Yourselves, the new song, and, of course, any of Jordan's music. Certainly you can go to his website and find out more about that. Any parting words for us before we leave you on this Thanksgiving?
Well, I just want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving, and to you, my friend, and thanks for having me back on the show. And everybody, you know, just everybody go get on iTunes or CD Baby and spread the song around. You know, it's all about peace. It's a pro peace song. It's just meant to lift you up and to strengthen your resolve. So I appreciate everyone's support, and keep an eye out for the video. And, you know, thanks to Oath Keepers for helping me, you know, get it made. And you know, I'll see you guys on the road.
Jordan, great talking to you. Good luck.
You too, buddy. Thanks.
And that will do it for this Thanksgiving episode of The Tom Woods Show. Tomorrow, we're going to talk to Dr. Michael Edelstein, who's going to tell us all about the scam of self-esteem. Oh, all we need to do is build up people's self-esteem. Oh, that criminal probably just has low self-esteem. If we could build up his self-esteem, why, he'd be an upstanding citizen. Or the most important thing for children is to build up their self-esteem. He has no patience for this whatsoever, and we're going to have a lot of fun talking about it. So check that out. Check out Black Friday, my special deal at libertyclassroom.com, the best gift you can get for your libertarian friends. If you can't get them a free society, get them a free subscription to libertyclassroom.com. See you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.